Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy New Year. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. And isn't it time we have that conversation about health? It's the new year. You're thinking of your resolutions. Some of those resolutions are going to be health related. Now, you see, the show I'm going to do today, it's on stress, adrenal stress, and damage to your health. But it's kind of an odd time of year to do a show like that because, in a sense, this is the time of year when you chill, when you're with family, when you slow down, when you work less, when you relax more, so on and so forth. And yet, did you know, the holidays are about the highest stress time of the year. I mean, for people who study this kind of thing, stress skyrockets during the holidays. Counterintuitive, and yet it's true. Suicide rates go up. All sorts of things happen during the holidays, especially the Christmas holidays. And I think it's because people take a look at themselves. Well, that's what you're supposed to do. But unfortunately, that means for a lot of people, stress. You also deal with a little more intimacy over the holidays, and that means family. And lots of you know what it's like. I mean, I have often housewives in the office who are flipping out because they have to cook for the relatives. Someone's coming in from out of town, even from another country, and they've got to make a good impression, and their stress is skyrocketing. So maybe it's not so counterintuitive to do a show on stress today. So happy New Year to you. This show's on adrenal stress and damage to your health. Everybody knows stress is not good. But when you go to the dentist and the dentist says, wow, you got 6 cavities. Are you under stress? It's news to you that your stress causes tooth decay. Ladies, you're all interested in bone loss. Somehow we sold this to the American public as the premier concern for anyone over the age of 50. Menopause and bone loss. And when you hear you're osteoporotic and you want to know what you can do about it, here's the inside track. Get rid of your stress. But that usually doesn't happen, and I know that well. And while you're running around looking for your estrogen creams and progesterone and all this nonsense that does very little, really, it's the ravages chemically in the body of high stress that cause the bones to lose all their bone. Bones dissolve under stress. Teeth dissolve under stress. There's hundreds of things that happen under stress, and yet we only think of stress as, yeah, I had a rough day at the office. I've had trouble with the family. Stress is this esoteric word that doesn't really mean anything. That's what I want to close the gap on today. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. What does stress really mean? Get to the website to see the pictures so you can understand what stress really means with your health. And while I'm not going to knock that wonderful cascade of herbal supplements that we can all apply to anting the effect of stress on the body, the truth is, if you don't get the fundamentals straight, throw your supplements away. It just doesn't work, guys. Not to knock supplements, and I'm not being tongue-in-cheek. I'm being absolutely serious. Very straightforward. Herbs for cordyceps, rhodiola, ginseng, stuff is great. But if you're not getting your sleep, if you're not doing the 100 other things that are fundamental, this is where you're missing the point. All right, adrenal stress. First of all, where are the adrenal glands? You have to know this, but many of you may not. The adrenal glands are right on top of your kidneys, and they're little. Not in a pit bull, Pit bulls have massive adrenal glands. A pit bull has the adrenal glands the size of an elephant. Per unit size, the adrenal glands of the pit bull are about five times as big as they should be. What's the first hint on that? The first hint on that is if you look at a pit bull, its neck is as thick as its waist. When you see people with big, thick, muscular necks and big jaws, you know they've got big adrenal glands. Big necks mean big adrenal glands. Big jaws mean big adrenal glands. Well, you know this from your athletes. All your athletes, I mean the athletes that do the damage. Look at the jaw on LeBron James. That's why he's LeBron James. 9 out of 10 times you're looking at a superior athlete, someone with power. You're looking at someone with a big neck. With that big neck comes big adrenal glands. Pit bulls are a great example, not French poodles and not chihuahuas. You get my point. Now, big adrenal glands, which some of us have and others don't, secrete a hormone. They all secrete the hormone. This hormone is called adrenaline. Adrenaline is your mojo. Adrenaline's that part of you that you rely upon when you've got to fight or you've got to run. The building shakes and you've got to run for your life down the street. The reason, even if you're exhausted, all of a sudden you've got this mass of energy is because your brain tells your adrenal glands in a case like that to go into overdrive, and this massive flood of adrenaline hits the blood, and it does many things to your body. Now, one thing adrenaline does is it tells the liver to dump a ton of sugar into the blood. And sugar, glucose, runs the machinery in the body. So if you want to run, your muscle cells need glucose, and all of a sudden, you've got a flood of this glucose, however temporary, because your brain has told your adrenal glands to tell the liver to throw all of its glycogen into the blood. That's like the main reason you got so much energy when the building shakes and you've got to run down the street. Now, sometimes you're not running. Sometimes you're angry and you're fighting. Somebody comes up to your favorite kitty cat and cuts its tail, and you go ballistic. The animal you love and care for has been brutally attacked by some maniac that lives in the neighborhood. You may be exhausted, you may be tired, and all of a sudden you get this surge of massive energy. You could lift a car. You could throw a boulder across a football field. Where you got this energy, nobody knows. If you've got big adrenal glands, you're going to have that energy. Now, you're not supposed to do that every day. The adrenal gland is supposed to rest, and you're only supposed to use it in or out of the ordinary moments throughout the day or the week. The adrenal gland is like the secret weapon. It's like the button you press for emergency. And of course, you know where I'm going for that. That gets overstated. Unfortunately, we're always pressing that button for emergency because that's the way we live. So it's not that the adrenal gland and adrenaline is bad. No, it's good. It's just that it's used so much, the effects of it then start to run counter to the body. And we're going to get into that. But in general, that's how you think of adrenaline from your adrenal gland, which is one of a number of hormones that the adrenals secrete. The other one is cortisol. Cortisol is a different hormone with a different function. And really, in the overall of it, cortisol is the hormone that the adrenals secrete, the other hormone they secrete, that really gets you into trouble. So on top of your kidney is an adrenal gland. That adrenal gland is going to have variable potential depending on who you're talking about. Are you the pit bull Or are you the Chihuahua dog? Are you the French poodle? Or are you the Rottweiler? And that's the truth. And you've got to factor that in. A French poodle that tries to act like a pit bull is going to have a short life. Here's another one. A pit bull that's trying to act like a French poodle is going to have a short life. I'm not kidding you. These things are really what your health is about. I'll give you an example. Of the pit bull acting like a French poodle. You Norwegians, you Scandinavians, you Welsh, any of you from any of the ethnicities, any of the races, that if we trace your lineage back 1,000 years ago, were men on the move, men on the move. Didn't say moon, move. In other words, you Vikings were out in the ocean. Perhaps you come from some tribe in Eastern Europe that was nomadic. Perhaps you were a mountain people, regularly climbing 4 or 5 hours a day in the mountains. Those kind of people, and you see them every day, are built strong. They're built hardy. They're built for power. They're built to engage. And they sell insurance for State Farm. Cooped up in some little office under fluorescent lights with no air because it's against the lease. You can't have windows in corporations because there's some stupid law doesn't want you to breathe real air. You know what I'm talking about. That pit bull, that Rottweiler, that Viking cooped up in that smaller space with the potential to deploy a mass of adrenaline the size of a meteor in any given moment, compressed into a little desk, 40 to 50 hours a week, goes crazy. That's what I said. I said, if you're a pit bull and you're living the life of a French poodle, you're going to get sick. Here's the other way around. And you see this too. You see little people with little adrenal glands without the most amount of reserve. Maybe they should be artists, not linebackers. People are different. Maybe they should be physicists and not construction foremen. People are out there like that. And for some reason, the life they bought is the life that demands that they act like pit bulls. When you take someone of a more refined nature and you demand that they live in adrenal overdrive, they go into adrenal exhaustion. Adrenal exhaustion. You can start when you're young, or you can get there when you're 60. Either way, there's a certain point at which the demand you place on your adrenal glands, in this case, it's your constitution, can't live up to the requirements that it's burdened by. You know, we have a good sense of this. We actually do. You look at firemen, especially. I think they're a great example of guys who generally have large adrenal glands. Not so much the police departments. In the old days, yes, not today. Police departments have changed. They've changed requirements. But at least in the old days, they were like the fire department. There's all sorts of reasons for that we don't need to get into. But the point is, if you today, present day, 2018, you look at your average fire guy, these guys are built. Or they're not selected. There's always been a mindset and a mentality that if you didn't have the moxie, the inherent adrenal strength, you couldn't meet a fire. And of course, this was so important because your role when you're putting out a large fire or any fire, Your role is inextricably linked to everybody else's role, and if you're the weak link in the chain, the whole chain collapses. So you would jeopardize the lives of everybody if you succumbed. So you've got to be able to stand up to it. And it's interesting, if you watch police, if you watch the firemen, at least in the last 50 years that I've been alive, there are always those guys who have adrenal glands like pit bulls, because when you face a raging fire, if you don't have that moxie behind you, if you don't have meat on the ribs, you're going to faint. You're literally going to faint. By the way, did you ever know those people that are always fainting? Yeah, you know, back in the old days, you know, in the boxing clubs in New York City, it's interesting phenomenon. Your trainers would talk about the day that boxer accidentally pooped in his pants. He got so scared. And then they sent him home, and that was the end of his career. When they initially train you, what they were doing in the boxing gyms, at least in New York, and I'm sure this was across the world, is they were testing to see if you had the adrenal reserve to handle getting cracked across your face. And of course, if you did, you'd get cracked across your face, and then you'd get angry, and you'd tear the head off your opponent. But there was always this saying or this awareness in the gyms that at a certain point, someone who perhaps you thought was going to be a very good athlete would get cracked across his face, and he would actually defecate in his pants. And the trainers used to talk like this. I'm not making this up or exaggerating. Oh, I put this guy in the ring with this guy last week, and this kid's got no career. He literally poo-pooed in his pants. And they talk this way. You know those people. They faint easily. They can't hold it. That's adrenal insufficiency. Adrenal insufficiency causes that reaction. Okay, there's not a lot of people like that. You might think that. It's not true. But here's where you can't deny adrenal insufficiency. First, you got to think in terms of the function of adrenaline. All right. Number one, adrenaline is a bronchodilator. Adrenaline expands the bronchial tubes. Let me ask you a question. Asthmatics. Yeah, your kid's got asthma. When you have a young kid with asthma, look for weak adrenal glands by birth. When you have someone with asthma, asthma is at least 7 times out of 10 adrenal insufficiency. They just don't have the adrenal glands to secrete the amount of adrenaline required to vasodilate the bronchioles. And that may be an issue at birth. Look for people like that, and often you know what you're going to find. They don't have any a jaw. A small, underdeveloped jaw means 9 times out of 10 weak adrenals. Well, in boxing, oh, that guy, he's got a jaw. He's got a big jaw. He can take it on the jaw. Right. Boxers that get smacked in the jaw and just keep going, a Marciano type. These kinds of guys, you know what's an interesting one? Those of you boxing aficionados, you will appreciate this. Ernie Shavers. Ernie Shavers is almost unarguably the hardest hitting heavyweight fighter in the history of boxing. Yeah. You get Foreman, maybe Liston, maybe Marciano, maybe Dempsey, whatever. But no one's really going to argue that Ernie Shavers was the king of it. And yet, if you study him, relative to the size of his body, his jaw is undersized. Very interesting. He actually has an undersized jaw. And the one flaw in Ernie Shavers' game, the only reason Ernie Shavers was not the Muhammad Ali of the recent century, is because Ernie Shavers at any given moment would get knocked out. Where Ali could take a punch on a level that no one could, Ernie Shavers would go down. Jerry Quarry. There's a whole slew of guys that knocked Ernie Shavers out. Inconceivable when you consider the power of that man's punch, but often evidenced. And this is the thing about adrenaline. When you're under traumatic attack, your adrenals have to deploy a massive amount of adrenaline. You know who does a lot of that very well? Pit bulls. And anybody knows when a pit bull's tearing your arm off, you have to kill the pit bull. When pit bulls bite, they will not let go. Anybody that knows dogs knows this. You see someone being eaten by a pit bull and it happens, you got to shoot the dog. You don't have a choice. They have so much adrenaline, they don't feel pain. You can't kick it and hit it. It won't do anything. Break its leg. It won't feel it. And this, of course, is what we prize the athlete in. Remember Dick Butkus? Dick Butkus? Do you even fathom the amount of adrenaline that man? Well, look at Dick Butkus. We already know this. The Lithuanians, the Ukrainians, the Eastern Europeans, largest adrenal glands of any culture in the world. And you see this in athletic performance. I don't mean running and jumping. I mean grabbing and tearing. Second to none. You see it in the Olympics. You see it in MMA. You see it in UFC. Well, that's because that adrenaline dilates under stress. Under stress, you want more blood to your muscles. Under stress, you want more air in your lungs. Under stress, you want more sugar to the cells of your body so they can do more of. And that's the adrenals. Now, what's asthma? Asthma is the insufficiency of that. You need to bronchodilate. Your bronchioles need to expand. And they can't because there's no adrenaline. Adrenal-induced asthma. 60-70% of all your asthmas are like that. You ever notice when you're eating, if for whatever reason something happens, something traumatic happens, there's a robbery in the diner when you were eating your steak and eggs, and all of a sudden you're not hungry anymore? You ever have to go to the bathroom and there's a car accident and all of a sudden you're not thinking about urinating? You don't have to go to the bathroom. That's because when adrenaline deploys, it shuts off your digestive system and it shuts off your excretion system. Makes sense, right? If you're fighting or running, you have no time to engage in defecation, urination, or digestion. Body's got it all figured out. Now, if you take a look at that adrenal gland, it's going to be divided into a cortex. If you look at picture 7 on the website, I hope you're on the website, that's straighttalk.cc. If you're not on the website, it's because you're driving, or you're working, or you're multitasking. But if you can get on the website, get on the website. Picture number 7. Look at the adrenal gland. It's divided into the cortex on the outside and the medulla on the inside. The adrenal medulla secretes the adrenaline, often known as epinephrine. The adrenal cortex secretes the cortisol. So they're talking two different hormones here. And one effect of cortisol, or I should say, cortisol in general is the anti-inflammatory hormone. So you got to get this because it's deep. And of course, we're going to get to what happens when too much cortisol is secreted. We're going to get to what happens when not enough cortisol is secreted. But by and large, the bottom line with cortisol is it's the anti-inflammatory hormone. But the implications of that statement, anti-inflammatory hormone, are very deep because inflammation is the result of the eternal, never-ending war between the good guys and the bad guys in the human body. And the good guys and the bad guys in the human body are each part of a never-ending list of different types of chemicals. And when the good guys and the bad guys go to war, the immune system comes in and starts to mediate between the good guys and the bad guys. And the minute that happens, you have the beginning of the side effects of this war, and we call that the inflammatory process. Okay, you get bit by a rattlesnake. Obviously, rattlesnake venom, which has an enzyme in it that digests your fat, phospholipase, some branch of it. Well, that's the bad guy. Now, it's digesting the fat in your cells, and of course, your cells are the good guys. And your cells have all sorts of, you know, countermeasures to that. The cell just doesn't sit there stupid. It goes into its own mechanism. Immune system aside, the cell itself resists the effect of the bad guy, that being the rattlesnake venom. There's the good guy, there's the bad guy. But the minute this war starts and you see the damage of this war, comes an immune system cell. Could be a macrophage. Could be a lymphocyte. And the minute the macrophage or the lymphocyte mediate between the good guy and the bad guy, a war starts. It erupts. And the side effect of the inflammatory process becomes the disease itself. Right? You're playing basketball. You tear up your ankle. Why do you put ice on it? You put ice on it to keep the blood away. Why do you do that? I thought the blood was good. Because the inflammatory process that ensues when you tear your muscle cells or your ligament or your tendon in a basketball accident, the injury begins an inflammatory cascade, and you put the ice on it to minimize inflammation. So although it's the body's way, whether you got a rattlesnake bite, a bee sting, some chemical toxin in the body, whether it's from a sprained ankle, you hurt your shoulder pitching baseball, regardless of what the cause, that inflammatory process is in a sense good, but then of course, long term, it's bad. So put ice on it to minimize inflammation. We all know that. You've been listening to this counsel since you were a baby. Now, here's what happens. That cortisol, which diminishes your immune system response, at the site of injury, your adrenal glands, at the inflammatory site in the body, I'm giving you examples of that, at that inflammatory site, the adrenal glands deploy a ton of cortisol, the cortex, and that cortisol minimizes inflammation. So, the adrenal glands and cortisol secretion, when appropriate, very good thing. Without the cortisol, you would blow up. Without the cortisol, you would never heal. Without the cortisol, your life would be hell. Without the cortisol, you'd be dead in 4 minutes. Cortisol, good. Unless the inflammatory cascade is systemic and relentless. So, cortisol, good. Unless the inflammatory cascade is relentless and systemic. If you're inflamed all over and it never stops, the amount of cortisol that you have to use has side effects, and those side effects are bad. They kill you. They cause your disease. They mess up your life. The ramifications of high cortisol are massive. And people don't get this. They don't get it. Ladies with hot flashes, you are a great example of this type of ignorance, innocence, naivete, deficiency of education. When you are looking for progesterone and estrogen creams to fix all your hormonal problems at menopause, from your hot flashes to dryness in the genitalia to moodiness to the whole slew of things, you dislike menopause over. And it goes on for years. Oh, I've tried everything for my hot flashes. I've been to that renowned acupuncturist. I've tried the best of nutrition. I've had every cream in the world. I've gone to the MD that wrote the 15 books on how to balance hormones with creams. I've spent thousands of dollars. I just can't get rid of these hot flashes. Right, because you're a stress case and you can't take a look at it. There's an example. What would stress? Yes, I'm under stress. My kids, my husband, my divorce, my whatever. I'm under stress. My job, my kids, my husband. I'm under stress. Yes, I understand that. But what about my hot flashes? Yeah, but I know I'm under stress. Now that, yes, we've discussed the stress. Now, what about my hot flashes? You see, you're not getting the point. And most people don't get the point about the ramifications of stress and thus the secretion of high cortisol. What you're talking about when you say my job, my kids, my husband, my divorce, my this, my that, my in-laws, men, you have your version of the same. We all do. What you're really talking about then is a constant, relentless stress on the body, and it will have massive ramifications, one of which is it will screw up your entire hormonal. Men under stress don't get erections. Men under stress don't hold their erection. Men under stress don't build muscle. Well, there's three reasons, gentlemen, not to be under stress. Under stress, you lose bone. Under stress, you go autoimmune or you have no immune response. I'm going to get into lots of ramifications, but the hormonal one, I want to go after that. And I want to introduce a word that I've often introduced before and that you're familiar with, the word competitive inhibition. Competitive inhibition. Now, if you go to picture 27, you're going to see the picture of a cell membrane, a receptor site, meaning something that receives something else, a membrane, a receptor site in the membrane, and a hormone. Hormone, a receptor that receives the hormone, and that receptor is dug in to the membrane of the cell. Now, here's the deal. When you want your testosterone to work, gentlemen, ladies, when you want your estrogen to work, when you want your progesterone to work, when you want your thyroid to work, do we maul the thyroid? It's disgusting. It really is disgusting that for the simple reason we can measure thyroid, and for the simple reason we have Synthroid, how we distort, abuse, and completely twist into some aberrant, disgusting form our standard of care for thyroid. If you have low thyroid, if they tell you you are hypothyroid, do something to fix the thyroid. And I guarantee you it has nothing to do with a thyroid cream or a thyroid capsule or a thyroid gel or a thyroid anything. The thyroid is a pawn. It's a slave. And it runs secondary to many, many other factors in the body. Find someone willing to look for those and address them. Now, here's the thing. Competitive inhibition, it means that when your thyroid gland wants a chemical to bind to it so it can produce thyroid hormone, when your testicle or ovary wants estrogen or testosterone or wants other chemicals from the pituitary to bind to it so it can activate, if there's too much cortisol around, if there's too much cortisol, the cortisol will substitute for the testosterone, for the estrogen, and even for the hormones that come out of the pituitary that bind to your glands. It's kind of like this. If you go into a restaurant and you want hamburger and they only have steak, you, the receptor site that really want hamburger, will take steak. Let me repeat that. If you go into a restaurant and you want hamburger, but they only have steak, you, as the receptor site, instead of getting the hamburger because they don't have it, you'll take the steak. Now, you really wanted hamburger, but you settled for the steak. And of course, why? Because hamburger and steak are close enough to each other so that even though they're different, it still fits. That steak is competitively inhibiting the possibility that the hamburger will reach you. This happens in the human body all the time. Now, what does that mean in terms of stress? It means when you are secreting so much cortisol, when your cortisol levels are going through the roof, because your inflammatory processes, from regular stress to the infections you've got, to the fact that your insulin and blood sugar are running too high. I mean, there's so many reasons. When your cortisol levels are running through the roof, they competitively inhibit your thyroid, your estrogens, your testosterones, and just about every other steroid hormone in the body. That's right. They screw up your estrogen function. They screw up your progesterone function. They screw up your testosterone function. They screw up your thyroid function. Cortisol competitively inhibits those hormones. Yeah. So you go off to your local endocrinologist or your internist or your nutritionist or whoever, and they figure out, because they take blood tests or whatever, that in fact your thyroid's off, or you're low in estrogen, or you're low in progesterone, or you're low in testosterone. And of course, it's all simply because you don't have one of those creams or those injections or those supplements or whatever it is you're about to buy and apply directly to the gland that's not doing its function, and it's got nothing to do with anything but stress. 90% of everything I see like this relates to stress. If you want to talk about hormonal imbalance, you're talking about stress. Now, it's not the only cause. There's other causes. But really, those other causes are about what causes the stress. So we could say sleep causes the hormonal issues. Because when you sleep, what do? You make your cortisol, meaning you regulate your cortisol. You shut it off when it's in hyperdrive. Sleep regulates use of cortisol. When you sleep, you make your hormones. When you sleep, you make your adrenaline. Point being, If you're talking about cortisol, you're talking about stress. If you're talking about stress and cortisol, you're talking about competitive inhibition. If you're talking about that, you're talking about the real reason why all your hormones are all messed up, imbalanced, too high and too low. And of course, what does this relate to? Just as fundamental to competitive inhibition, of course, is balance in the autonomic nerves. So when we say stress, we say nerve sensors go to the brain that tell the brain to put the body in constant, relentless, systemic shock. So instead of being somebody that knows how to roll with the punches, let go of the problems, forget it at the end of the day, do things that replace the tendency to hold on to the day's anxieties. Instead, when we hold on, the brain ends up telling the body to go into overdrive. And overdrive doesn't end. You just stay in overdrive. And you don't even know you're in overdrive. And the classic presentation for that is what we call sympathetic dominance. That part of the nervous system, of the electrical system to the organs, that part of the electrical system to the adrenal gland is always being told by the brain to those target organs or glands to keep going, to keep putting out, to keep pumping. And of course, we call that sympathetic dominance. And of course, on picture 19, we've got the stress of life. On picture 21, we've got Hans Selye, the famous medical doctor out of Canada who wrote Stress of Life. And he watched this and observed this. And yes, he tested it on animals, hopefully in an ethical way. I'm sure he did. But the point is, what happens under stress was understood probably with the greatest amount of depth and sophistication by Hans Selye. That is a book, The Stress of Life. That is a book, if you're interested in really the mechanics of stress and what happens under stress, you read his book. You want to talk chronic disease? You're talking stress. But again, when we say stress, yes, all the effects of stress mediated through cortisol account for massive amounts of disease. Autoimmune disease. You see, this is the thing. Someone comes in with multiple sclerosis. Somebody comes in with ankylosing spondylitis. Somebody comes in with a cancer. Somebody comes in with any variety of tragedies. And you say the word stress, it doesn't add up to them. Oh yeah, your father beat you up when you were little. Yeah, but that was 40 years ago. What does that have to do with this today? You see, the connections aren't made. That is the tragedy. We are so grossly ignorant. We think stress of stress. You mean my brain tumors because I get upset about traffic? That's about as bad as it gets. I mean, we're missing the point. Once the totality of stress triggers a response mediated through the hypothalamus gland in your brain, once the amount of stress triggers a response mediated through the hypothalamus that tells the sympathetic nerve fibers to shoot, and don't stop shooting so that you live that way, you're doomed. You're going to get hurt. Better be born with a real strong constitution to avoid the pain that's coming to you when you go into sympathetic dominance. We've got the data on this. Selye proved it. Anyone that's ever studied it. It's in the literature. You want to make your tumor grow faster? Just hit it with sympathetic nerve impulses. You want to make your immune system go after your own tissue? You want multiple sclerosis? You want lupus? You want rheumatoid arthritis? You want bad disease? Add the total number of stressful events prompting the hypothalamus to tell through the sympathetic nerves to tell the immune system to go into high gear, like there's a traumatic event occurring, like there's a systemic, relentless inflammatory process. And the immune system says, sure, that's what we're here for. And you've turned a bunch of quiet little honeybees into a hornet's nest. And then as you hit your 50s, when your reserve energies begin to deplete, you're ravaged by those impulses that have been deployed since you were a kid. If you want the reality of disease, I just gave it to you in a nutshell. If you want the ramifications of stress and how it hurts you, I just gave it to you. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I give it to you every single Saturday, 10 to 11 a.m. I give it to you straight. I can't tell you how sincere I am about this, how it is my absolute passion to give it to you straight. We are being ripped off in this great nation. Our understanding of health. I am not just talking about allopathic health, Western MD version of what you're supposed to do for your problem. I'm talking about alternative medicine. Alternative medicine needs to get its act together. It needs the upgrade. It needs the facelift. It has succumbed to the notion that all you need are a few supplements and we'll straighten all this out. It needs to dig deeper to present more educationally based forums so that the American public, that's you, can start to understand what you're dealing with. It's fun. Alternative medicine is the human potential movement. Alternative medicine is about finding out what you came here for. And the scam, the sham, the travesty is if you say medicine is about creative force, if you say medicine is about what you came here to do, that before you pass to the other realm, you need to find out about. If you say that, it's not scientific enough to fall into the category of medicine. That is a scam. That is a crock. That is a lie. That is a myopia. That is an arrogance and ignorance. That is a condescension. And you get it every single day. Every single day you walk into a hospital or a doctor's office and the men in white cross their arms and look down at you and tell you you're hopeless, it's genetic, take the drugs, cut the organ out. You're being condescended to because you're being given with a high, high institutional arrogance a very, very myopic view of health. If your creative force is not expressing fully, it is by definition a relentless, systemic, inflammatory crisis. Yes, you watch it in socialization. A child is born. Your child was born. You were born to shine. God has given all of us that destiny. Regardless of what you were brought here to do, you were brought here to shine. And if you watch the mass percentage of the human race, somewhere along the line, long before puberty, your flame has been destroyed. That is a massive, systemic, relentless assault. That is the essence of hormonal imbalance. And that is the beginning of aberrant physiology. After that, it's just a matter of time until you run out of your God-given reserve. And here's the irony. People with thick necks have more reserve. That's true. They're also the first to die. You know why? Because they don't stop. People that are of a finer constitution tend to respect their limitations. The pit bulls don't. They keep going until they're dead, and when they're dead, they just keep going. They don't even know they're dead. I love the boxing analogies. I love watching Jake LaMotta. Watch Jake LaMotta get beaten to death by Sugar Ray Robinson. Now, Jake LaMotta, he was from my part of Italy, Calabria. And your average Calabrian, they're all pit bulls, even the women, the men, the women. They live in the caves. They come out once a day to get some sun. They look like wild animals, these Calabrians. And mind you, Calabria is probably the most fertile part of Italy. Just a beautiful, beautiful area that's resisted tourism because they're so ferocious there, no one wants to go. Everyone goes to Sicily. They skip Calabria for some reason. The reason is the Calabrians generally don't want you there. They don't want what's happened to other parts of Europe. And that exists to this day, less or so. But that's the bottom line. Watch Jake LaMotta, who was Calabrian, get hit by Sugar Ray Robinson. Now, Robinson beat him. LaMotta beat Robinson once. But the other four times, it was the other way around. And the last fights, I mean, LaMotta took horrid beatings. LaMotta is still alive. LaMotta was on David Letterman when he was 84 years old, talking to Mike Tyson. You couldn't stop Jake LaMotta. You could hit him with anything, and he'd just keep coming. It's why Scorsese did the film Raging Bull. And that's my point. Those types of people don't stop. They often get sick the first. And why? Because they don't stop. That's ironic, and yet it's true. So whether you're of a more refined type, whether your adrenals have less reserve, whether you're going to go from high cortisol, which is a disaster, to low cortisol, which is a bigger disaster. It's just about finding out who you are and respecting the fact that if your health is about anything, it's about the evolution of your sensitivity to stress. If your health is about anything, it's about the evolution of your sensitivity to stress. I have a horde of clients who are in various stages of healing. And out of nowhere, they become despondent. They become manic. They become depressed. They become angered. They become sensitive to everything because their evolution in a healing has refined their sensitivity to their stress. All of a sudden, that husband or that wife are irritating. All of a sudden, that neighbor, that job, all of a sudden, the call to, I can't take this anymore. I just can't take this anymore. All of a sudden, they're much quicker to that sensibility. And why? Because they're healing. Because they're getting in touch with their stress. Now go online today and go on the radio today and listen to the prevalent versions of what you need to do for your health. If you want my money, flush most of them down the toilet. There's a guy you should listen to, Brian Clement from the Hippocrates Institute. Hardcore vegan. I don't quite agree with that. I can't buy the dogma that everyone has to be vegan and that no one is not at some phase in their healing where they need animal protein. But nonetheless, listen to Brian Clement. If you want to know another guy, aside from myself, who's really telling it like it is, his name is Brian Clement. Just look up Hippocrates Institute, Brian Clement. He is a hero. He's older than I am, and for many years he has been talking the way I talk. And we've got to get more people talking like that. We have to do that. The work that we need to do is not on the new supplement. And this is the crock that we are being sold. That science now, through more sophisticated mechanistic studies, has been able to isolate the essential components of these mysterious things we call herbs. And if we concentrate them and give them back to you in concentrated forms, voila, we're going to save the world. And this is where we're working. And this is the last place we should be working. We need to be working on health, not on the new hero molecule that we isolate out of some plant, without which we will go nowhere. So I'm going to make a call to 2018. I'm going to ask you, my listeners, or my new listeners, to start embracing the new year. I want you to get on, and maybe I'll do the show next week. Radical things that I would do for my health. These are the concepts of health that you have to embrace. It's not what herb should I take about stress. Although if you want to use cordyceps and rhodiola and reishi and all sorts of the adaptogens for stress, fantastic stuff. Do not misunderstand me. Herbs, real herbs, good herbs, herbs like Premier Research Labs, dragon herbs, so on and so forth. Any real purveyor, Dr. Schultz, of real good herbs, do us a service. But my point is we have to understand on a far more conceptual basis, embrace concepts to grow health. Health is not ingesting herbs, it's embracing concepts. And if those concepts include herbs, then good. So for 2018, embrace the concepts. For 2018, go onto my website and look at radical things that I would do for my health and get to work. For those of you who need help, the number here, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Do it now. Don't be afraid. Come in and learn. Those of you with chronic health conditions, stuff that scares you in the night, 714-850-1007. Make the time, make the call, and come in. God bless you. Happy New Year. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.